immovable in your convictions, fulfill the statutes of your religion. Rejoice, ye that suffer trials, confiscations, contumely, all for the love of God, all to magnify his glorious name. It is the sweetest offering you can make. Should ever the necessity of fleeing for your lives to a wilderness or inhospitable regions arise, painful as it may be to sever oneself from dear associations or to relinquish one's property, you should still endure all. Martyrdom was mandatory in cases where a man is ordered to transgress the laws of idolatry, of incest, and of murder, but only in such cases. In all other instances, a man must transgress the law to save his life. Otherwise, his blood is upon his own head. And that is the law of Judaism. The general principle was laid down. All the commandments were given in order that men might live by them, not die because of them. This is the religion of Judaism, a religion of reasonableness, of sobriety of measure, and of order. And it is against this reasonable religion that we all ought to ask ourselves whether we ourselves, in our day-by-day life, in our relation to our families, or to our friends, or to our community, whether we are reasonable. Good question to ask yourself. Good way of checking up on yourself. Not against the standards of absolute perfection, but against the reasonable standards demanded of us by our religion. In your relationship to those about you, are you reasonable? To wife, or husband, or children? Do you give too much of yourself to them, or too little? Do you demand too much of them, or not enough? Are you overindulgent, or too niggardly? Overconcerned, or too indifferent? Are you too long-suffering, or are you too impatient? Every form of excess is a form of unreasonableness and harmful. Do you wish to live the lives of your dear ones? Or are you content to share with them common interests and common loyalties? Do you wish to impose your will upon them, or win through cooperation, in agreement, and in love? Our sages urged a reasonable course for men, women, and children in the home. Le'olam al yatil adam eima yitera betoch beito. A man should never literally cast excessive fear or dread or intimidation, domination in his home. Another rabbi declared, Tinok v'isha, in the case of a child or a wife, Tehei smol docha, the yamin mekarevet, even when the left hand thrusts away in anger, the right hand should draw back in love. I came across an interesting sermon written some time ago by Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick called On Being Fit to Live With. And this paragraph struck me. Of course, he writes, being fit to live with is the secret of a good home. Many associate broken homes primarily with outright infidelity. But any personal counselor sees homes where even adultery has been forgiven, but where some other things can no longer be endured. And other homes, too, he sees where infidelity did not come first, but last, after a long, long series of other troubles that paved the way. It is what many people call little things that commonly break up homes. Sullenness and moodiness and hypersensitiveness and irritability and petty jealousy and quarreling and nagging and bad temper. That is to say, the things that make folk unfit to live with. As one wife said about her husband, who was an actor, he was a comedian on the stage, but he was a tragedian at home. There are many people who are open and friendly and hail fellow well met away from home. Just the loveliest kind of people to be with. And just as sour and as sullen and as impossible as they possibly can be in the home. Are you reasonable? Be surprised how much of sweetness, felicity, this quality of reasonableness brings into the home. Are you reasonable with yourself? Do you demand too much of yourself or too little? Do you overtax your energies? Or permit them to lie fallow or unexplored? Do you overestimate or underestimate your powers or your ability? Are you content with a reasonable measure of material success in life? Or do you insist on grabbing up the whole world? Do you give each one of your many faculties a chance to play, to develop, to unfold all the potentialities of your being? Your mind, for example. You feed it with more than mere business knowledge. You read from the Pirkei Avot this morning, he who engages too much in business will not grow wise. Now, there is a business wisdom and a very important business wisdom, but it is not the whole wisdom of life or of living. Man was made B'Tselem Elohim in the image of God. How much of your life's interest reflect this fact that you are made in the image of God? Are you reasonable with yourself? Are you reasonable with your fellow men? With your employer, with your employees, with your business associates? Are you fearing your judgment of them? Are you fearing sharing with them all that they help you to acquire? Or are you an exploiter, bent only upon climbing, necessary climbing upon the backs of others to attain what you wish to attain, and then spurning the base degrees by which you rose? Are you reasonable with other men? Are you a reasonably good citizen? That is, are you carrying your fair share of the load of community life? Do you accept your share of responsibilities for keeping the community in which you live a good community to live in? You read in the Pirkei Avot this morning the famous saying of Hillel, Al tifrosh min hatzibur, do not separate yourself from the community. No man is an island all by himself, nor to himself. Are you not alone community-minded, but are you community attitudinized, if I may use the expression? Are you the kind of a person that can live with other people? Or are you too sharp in your judgments and too bitter-tongued, unmindful of the honor which is due to all other human beings because they are human beings? Quote, Chaverecha, Chaviv Alecha, Keshelach. Let the honor of your neighbor be as dear to you as your own. Are you a reasonable citizen? Are you reasonable with your God, with your religion? How much of your time and your thought do you devote to the things of God? Well, that's a good stock taking. And I think if we take stock of ourselves and not ask ourselves, are we perfect? Are we matchless? Are we without sins or shortcomings? They're all men and women of sin and of shortcomings. But against this more modest estimate, against the capacities of which the average human being is possessed of, against the things which we can do if we wish to do them, we can ask ourselves, are we living up to that requirement of reasonableness in our day-by-day life? There are, of course, as I've indicated before, occasions when extreme measures are demanded of us, uncompromising devotions to certain principles are indicated, bold, forthright action, when a man must stand like an Amud Barzel, an iron pillar, like Chomot Nechoshet, like bronze walls. There are such moments, there are rare moments in life, There are not many such occasions. What I am thinking of at the moment is of the quieter and the more frequent day-by-day situations in our lives when the exercise of reasonableness, of compromise, of give and take can sweeten our lives and the lives of all those about us. And this is what our religion asks of us. For the commandment which I command you this day is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in the heaven that you should say, who will go up to the heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Nay, but the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can